Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 14. I have a couple verses here I want to go through regarding Resurrection Sunday here. And I want to open just with a quick story from bivocational. I think a lot of you know that. Bivocational. I was at my other job this week, and I think it was Thursday. And we were in a meeting, and we were going through AP, accounts payable, okay? And we were talking about cash. So we have to pay our suppliers and, you know, pay the utility company, pay the rent. How many of you know, y'all know in your own life, this is a real thing. And, you know, over the course of time, you know, some things had been, cash was tight at this company. And this one lady who was sitting next to me, and she's worked at the company for 43 years. And she said, you know what? We may not always pay our suppliers on time. That's not a guarantee. But I can tell you this one thing, and it can be a guarantee that Christ is risen. And I was like, hello? I didn't know that she was a Christian. I didn't know that she believed that. But she just sort of said it, and she doesn't really say much ever in a meeting. And she was just sitting there, and she was like, you know, one thing we can, maybe she wrote this, one thing we can count on. One, that's what she said. One, because it really hit me, it struck me. One thing we can count on, said Jesus is resurrected. Jesus defeated the grave. And it just really hit me. I was like, amen. Amen. You know, and I was just like, Christ is risen. Okay, now when I said it during the meeting, not everybody else said Christ is risen indeed in the meeting. There was like five of us there, but you guys will go along with this. And she just said it out of the nowhere. And I really appreciated that because it was the one thing we can count on. Come on, church. It is the one thing we can count on. We can't count on our jobs. We can't count many times even on relationships in our own families, and there's a lot of things we have to lay down. We can't count that there's going to be certain things at the grocery store. There's all this stuff. We just can't count on it that it's going to happen. Even my iPhone. The one time I woke up and I just tried to use it and it was dead. This was an iPhone 14. It's completely dead. And I looked at it like it didn't work at all. And I was like, I was counting on you today. And you have failed me. Because I do a backup every night. So I didn't lose a whole lot. But the whole point was I looked at it and it just struck me. It was like, I can't count on you, iPhone. I can't count on anything but Jesus. I can count on Jesus. You can count on Jesus. The perfect Lamb of God, who was here from the beginning, who came from heaven to earth, who lived a sinless, perfect life, tempted like you and me, went to the cross, paid the price for our sins, and defeated death and the grave so we could have a relationship with God forever. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Okay, John 14. Okay, this is Jesus. He's talking to his disciples. This is during Holy Week. And, usually when you're towards the end of your life, you start speaking some really important things. Most people do that, and Jesus was no different. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus, if you have made him your Lord and Savior, he is literally preparing a place for you right now. How does that work? How is he doing? I don't know. He's got people. He's got angels. He's got work. Things are happening. I don't know how, but he is, if you have made Jesus Christ your Lord, he is already preparing a place for you. He is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible says. It says, and if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come again. He will come again, church. He will come again, church. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Where he's at, I want to be, church. Where he's at, I want to be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And so then it's just like, wait a second. How many times when somebody says something sometimes, And you're like, yeah, you know where that is. I'm like, I don't know where that is. You've been living in Erie for 25 years. How do you not know where Zook Road is? I don't know, because it doesn't feel like Zook Road when I'm on it, right? Why is it called Zook Road? It's a short road. It's between interchange and something else. I don't know. But you know what I mean? You have these moments when somebody says something. You're just like, well, you know. And you're like, no. No, actually, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. And so Thomas, good old doubting Thomas, he's in this conversation. He's just like, whoa, hold on a second. We love doubting Thomas, because it's like, wait a second. What are you talking about? Right? That sounded like Gru from Despicable Me. That's what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Wow, what is that? Okay, sorry. So Thomas is there, and he's just like, Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? How can we know the way? And church, I can tell you that every person in here has asked, is asking, and continues to ask, how do I know the way? There are people who aren't attending church on Easter Sunday, and they're out, whatever they're doing, whatever they're watching, basketball, whatever they're doing, who knows? But deep down inside, they're asking the question, how can I know the way? Because God has designed us in this way that our spirit man is longing to know the truth, is longing to know the actual way. And Thomas is just like, could you please clarify the way? Could you please clarify for me what is the way? I like the idea of mansions. I like the idea of being with you forever. I like all these things that you're saying, but I have to know specifically exactly how. How? What does this look like? And then Jesus said to him, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of options out there. But Jesus says, I am the way. And not only am I the way, but I'm the truth. The truth you're looking for, the certainty you're looking for, the 1 + 1 = 2. I need to know the truth. And Jesus says, I'm also the truth and the life. It's like, man, trifecta. Not only are you the way, but then you're also the truth that I'm looking for. And you're the life. How many of you want life? Yeah. It's like Jesus is the trifecta. He's all of it. He's everything. He's the only thing. It's the only way. And then he says to Thomas and the disciples are there, no one comes to the Father except through me. That settles it. There is no other way. There is no other way but Jesus. He is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to life. He's the only way to truth. He's the only way to any of it is Jesus. In Matthew 7, Pastor Liz did a great message a couple weeks ago talking about the narrow gate and the wide gate and where those two things lead. I just want to read it briefly. It says in verse 13, Matthew 7, 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are so many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and then it says, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So as I'm reading that passage, I'm just like, you know, you think about this wide gate. And the wide gate today is the world. The wide gate is everything's okay for everybody, no matter what. If it's okay for you, I'm okay with it. It's just this gate, it's the flesh that says, I don't want to be held judged. I don't want to be wrong. I just want to do whatever I want to go do when I want to go do it. And wide is that way. And you think like, well, that sounds really great. That sounds amazing. But what we know is when our flesh is the one dictating, walking down the path, doing whatever we feel like doing in our own flesh, it's actually ultimately destructive for us. It's actually destructive. We actually don't want that type of wide gate. We don't want that wide path. Because it leads, what the Bible says, what Jesus says, is it leads to destruction. And so I say, and I ask you this morning, well, what does the narrow gate look like? What does that narrow gate look like? Guess what? It looks like about 2 feet wide. The width of Jesus. The width of one man. One way, only way. Jesus is the way. And it says it's difficult to find it because what we have to do is we have to lay down all of our religion, all of our pre-notions and thoughts, all of our flesh, all of our desires, all of our wants to satisfy all of our needs. And we have to say, I have to put all of that aside. That is difficult to do. It is difficult to lay all of that stuff down and say, I want to go one way, and I want to go one way with Jesus. And that's it. And the Bible says that is difficult for us to go do. But that narrow way, that way of Jesus, that gate, it says it's actually a gate. When you walk through that gate because of Jesus and what he's done for you, and you say, I am receiving, I'm accepting Jesus, what you've done for me. When you walk actually through that gate, the gate of Jesus, your road is actually wide. Because of in him, there is love. In him, there is truth. In him, there is joy. In him, there is peace. In him, there is all the things you're looking for on that other path. You're looking for them. Where are they? You're coming over here. Ooh, this is a wide path. Ooh, I'm going to come over here. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this over here. I'm going to try that. But then you say, none of this is working. It's all hogwash. I can't find any kind of peace. I can't get anything that I really, really want until you walk through the narrow gates. Jesus. When you walk through that narrow gate, it's like you begin to breathe. And there's this newness of life. And this path that you thought, you know, you think of religion, you think this, oh, the narrow path, like I have to walk like this. I can never do anything wrong. What if I fall down? What if I made a mistake? Oh, Jesus doesn't love me. That is garbage. That's not anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't talk about that in the Bible. This narrow way is the gate. It's not a narrow path. It's a narrow gate. And once you go through that gate, the gate of Jesus, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, then wide is your path of life that's before you. Does that mean that everything's easy? No. It means you will ultimately be able to find the truth, the peace, and the joy that you cannot find on the wide road. Only on the narrow road. John 10 verse 9 says this. Jesus is speaking and says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go out, will go in and out and find pasture. Now, he references shepherding quite a bit. But how many of you like a good pasture every once in a while? Yeah? You ever see a nice, beautiful, green pasture? I joke, there is somebody in this neighborhood over here. I don't know what they do to their grass. It is gorgeous. Is absolutely gorgeous. I have grass envy, and I'm praying about that. Grass jealousy, I don't know what the right word is. I drive by it, and I just stare at it. How do you do that? I've been trying for years to get my pastures to look so beautiful, and I can't get it. But this is what Jesus is saying is, when you follow me, when you enter this gate, you are now ability to roam in the beautiful, most wonderful pastures of life. Because of Jesus, because of who he is. And then he says in verse 10, it says, well, the thief, the enemy, the devil, does not come except to try to steal, to kill and destroy. He wants you, the devil wants you on that wide road, just floating around, doing whatever. He wants you on that way. He is looking to steal, to kill and destroy. And then Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundant. Jesus came. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus defeated the grave so that we could have an abundant life both here and in heaven forever. Christ is risen. Amen. All right, I'm still catching you. I lost a few people on that one. So here, guys, Jesus was here. He says he's the only way. He was here from the beginning. He willingly came to earth to save us. He willingly laid down all of it. Look, I don't know about you, but when you're in heaven, most of you aren't going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll go back. I'll go down there. I'll go take care of that. No. But Jesus did it because he loved us so much. John 3, 16 and 17. You all know this verse, or most of you do. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through Jesus, 2 feet wide, narrow gate, only way. He is the only way. The Bible talks about, and we all know it to be true, we all have sinned and we all have fallen short. This morning, likely, be included, we all have sinned and fallen short. But Jesus. Isaiah 53, I want to read this. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus went on that cross. A prophet, Isaiah, spoke these words hundreds of years before it happened. And it says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And then verse 6 says this. This is all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have wandered away. And we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He went to that cross for me. He went to that cross for you. He bore the sins of the world, both mine and yours. He paid the ultimate price. And you say, well, he paid that price. Is that the end of the story? No, it's not the end of the story. I'm going to read a little passage here in Luke 24. Worship team, if you want to come back up. Guys, but God. There are people in history that have laid their life down. There are people that laid down their lives for others. But there is one who laid down their life and was supernaturally resurrected for me and for you. Only one. Only one did that. The Bible accounts for this in the Gospels. I'm going to read out of Luke 24. This is God doing what only God can do. Now in the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other woman with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. See, that stone was put there. There were guards that were put there. This wasn't like a little pebble that, you know, you kind of kick it out of the way. This was a massive rock, a massive stone that was put there with guards there to make sure nobody came. None of Jesus' followers came and took the body and tried to trick some people. Say, oh, look, he's not there. They're like, well, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. But no man can stop God's plan. Church, no man can stop God's plan. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in Matthew, the description of Matthew says the angels were there and they invited them to come in. They invited those who were there looking for Jesus to actually come into the tomb. It says, no. Go in and check. This is for real. Go in and check. He is not here. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Church, he is not in the grave anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered under the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Only God. Only Jesus. The Bible says that over 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus as he walked around, as he met with disciples. This was all recorded, not just in the Bible, but in other history books. Church, the resurrection is real. Christ is risen. You see, God set up the system where we all have free will. We all have free will. Everyone in here, everyone listening online, every one of us, God has given us something called free will, which means he will not force us to believe. He will not force us to make this decision. He will not force us to accept this truth. We have to choose. We have to decide. Hallelujah. I have to decide. You have to decide. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do you believe today? Do you receive today? Do you say, yes, Jesus, I do see what you've done. Yes, Jesus, I believe in what you've done for me. Yes, I know that you came and you died on the cross and you rose again for my sins. Yes, Jesus. Come and see today. We all have to make a choice. The Bible lays out the plan of salvation. It's in Romans 10. And it says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's a two thing. It's not just in your heart, but then you confess something. You say it and you say, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whomever believes on him will not be put to shame. The world, the wide road, there is nothing but shame there. But Jesus says there's no shame here. There's no condemnation here. There is love, there is hope, there is peace. There is all the things you search for, and there's only one way to get them, and it's Jesus. For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich for all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, stand with me. We're going to sing forever a portion of this song again. My question to you is this. Do not leave here today without saying and asking yourself the question, do I believe? And not only do I believe, have I confessed that this Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? And then I would also ask you this. You may have already received Jesus and accepted him, but you feel like you're walking on a path that is not the path that he has for you. And this morning you want to say, I want to turn my life, my heart, my eyes, everything back to Jesus. For He is the only way. If either of those two things are you today, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit maybe nervous or maybe something you're not comfortable with doing. But guess what? Jesus makes us do uncomfortable things. If you've received Jesus and accepted Him, you know He makes you do uncomfortable things sometime because He wants you to grow. So I'm going to ask you, if you are any of those two accounts, you say, today I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, or I've been walking far from Him, and today I want to turn my life back to Him. As we sing this song, as we sing this chorus, I just want you to come up here. I just want you to come up here, guys. Come on, don't let another day go by. Don't let another day go by where you're going to walk out here and go about your business and go about your thing acting as if Jesus isn't resurrected, because He is. For Christ is risen. So let's sing this song. And if that's you today, just come up here. Come up here.
Church, this is my prayer over you. That if, however long ago that it is that you stepped in through the gate of Jesus, where you decided, I believe. I believe He came, I believe He died, I believe He rose again, and I believe that He is alive in heaven. I believe that He's at the right hand of the Father. I believe that He is for me. I believe that the power of death and sin and hell has been defeated. However long it's been, my prayer for you, church, is that the path of sanctification would be real, and that it would be the power of the cross, the love of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that you would step into the flow of it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He saves us daily, daily. He frees us daily. This isn't a once and done thing. It's a once and done thing that you enter through that gate. And there's this narrow path of surrender where you finally lay down your pride. You finally lay down all of your attempts to save yourself. All of the lies that you've held up as truth because they made you feel good about your woundedness. They were like a band-aid. When you step into that gate, Jesus begins to coax those things from you. And He says, girl, my son, release, let it go. It's not what you think. It's never been the way you think. Let this go, and I will heal you. And that is lifelong. That is lifelong. That is my prayer for you, church, that you will believe in Him anew and afresh. We say this all the time about marriage. You have to re-choose one another, because I am not the same version of myself that He married 25 years ago. And Lord knows He is not the same version of Himself. And God willing, we're better. God willing, we're better. If we're walking the road of sanctification, we're better. If we've been challenging ourselves to love more, to love out, then we're better. We're more like Jesus. We're more free. We're more free from lies that we were believing. Then there's more love. But there has been variations of us throughout the years that we have to choose again and again and again. And you have to choose Jesus. You have to choose to believe.
Amen.
Because His truth doesn't change. The power of the cross doesn't change. The power of the cross, the truth of the cross, it doesn't change based on what you're suffering, on how you're feeling, on how you've been wounded, on what people have done to you, what the devil has brought in your life to ruin your view of God. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change the cross. Nothing can change what He did. Nothing can take away the power of what Jesus did on the cross. So let this resurrection day serve in your mind, in your memory, in your heart, that you run to the cross over and over and over and over and over again. I bless y'all in the name of Jesus, and that is our prayer for you. And it's not easy. I will never, ever stand up here. There will never be any condemnation here for you in your struggle. There is not a sin that you could come and confess to us that we would be aghast at, that we would say, oh gosh, that's so bad. That's so bad. That's outside of the realm of Jesus. There's nothing. There is nothing that grace does not surround. It creates space for you to work it out with Jesus. Church, you are free. If you are in him, then you are saved anew, day after day after day, minute by minute. Man, I have days. I have days just to look on my face when I walk down the steps. Man, they know. They just start praying. Mom needs saved today. Again and again and again.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good. Guys, we have some prayer teams that are going to come up front. And we're just going to worship one more time together, singing, oh, praise the name together. And then I'll read a benediction over us and join us for coffee out in the lobby. Let's worship. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Happy Easter, guys.